أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين
تشهد تعوذ and Surah Al-Fatiha. Hazrat Khalifatul Masih the Fifth, may Allah be his help, has stated, in the previous several sermons, the expedition of Banu Mustalik was being discussed. In relation to this, it has further been recorded that on the return from Banu Mustalik, when the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, passed by a place called Naqiyya, they saw an abundance of grass and ponds. When the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, inquired about the water, someone replied, O Messenger of Allah, during the summer, the water decreases and the water in the ponds reduces. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, instructed Hazrat Hatib bin Abi Balta'a to dig a well and to turn Naqi into a grazing field. Hazrat Bilal bin Harith Muzni, may Allah be pleased with him, was appointed to supervise this. He said, O Messenger of Allah, until which point should I make this grazing field? The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, replied, at dawn, position a person with a loud voice on a mountain and make a grazing field for the horses and camels of the Muslims, which they will use for jihad, to the point wherever his voice reaches. This is how he measured the size of the area. Hazrat Bilal, may Allah be pleased with him, said, O Messenger of Allah, what is your guidance in relation to the grazing animals of the general Muslims? The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, replied, they will not enter these grounds. He says that I then said, O Messenger of Allah, what is your guidance in relation to the weak man or woman who only has a few sheep and goats, but is not able to take them elsewhere to graze? The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, said, permit them to graze. In other words, he only permitted the poor to enter these grazing fields and instructed the affluent to prepare their separate fields. Only civic livestock would be permitted to graze here. This grazing field was maintained throughout the caliphate of Hazrat Abu Bakr, Hazrat Umar and Hazrat Uthman, may Allah be pleased with them all. However, due to the increase in the number of horses and camels, the location was changed. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, made great efforts to keep the companions alert and fresh. From time to time, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, would organize such sporting competitions between them, which focused on courage, physicality, faith, and striving in the cause of Allah. Such games would greatly elevate their determination, courage, fervor, and valor. In short, sporting competitions would be organized. On the return from Banu Mustalik, when the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, reached Naqiyya, he organized a horse and camel race on the same day between the companions. the camel of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, Qaswa, which was being ridden by Hazrat Bilal bin Rabah, may Allah be pleased with him, ran ahead of the others, and his horse ran ahead of all the other horses. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, had two horses. One was Lizaz and the other was called Darib. That day, Darib took part in the competition. Hazrat Abu Sa'id was riding the horse and it came first. In the same place, we also find mention of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, racing Hazrat Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her. In the book Imta' al-Asma', it is recorded that during this expedition, i.e. the return journey from Banu Mustalik, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, raced Hazrat Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her. She folded her clothes, and the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, also folded his garment, and they raced. The Holy Prophet ran ahead of her and said, "This is revenge for when you outran me." The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, referred to an incident of the past with this phrase. He once visited the house of Hazrat Abu Bakr, may Allah be pleased with him, and saw something in the hand of Hazrat Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her. He asked if he could see it, but she refused and ran from there. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, also ran towards her, but was unable to catch her. These were the incidents that he would recall at home in order to maintain a pleasant atmosphere therein. He set an example for us in everything. And this is also an example for those who treat their wives very harshly. Allama Ibn Jawzi has relayed a narration of Hazrat Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her. She states, "I once went on a journey with the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. At the time, I was young and slim. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, told the people to have a race, and so they all began to do so. Then the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, said to me, 'Come and race, take part in the race.' We then raced, and I managed to outstrip him." The first narration that was presented may well have been from another incident, and thus such incidents of good treatment took place on a regular basis. She then says, "Then quite some time passed, during which I gained weight. I once again went on a journey alongside the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. On this occasion as well, he told the people to race, and they all did so. Thereafter, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, said to me, 'Come and take part in the race.' The race then took place, and this time he outran me. He was laughing at the time and said that this was to compensate for the last race." As a Muslim, may Allah be pleased with him, has narrated this incident as follows. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, would also venture with his wives. On one occasion, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, and Hazrat Aisha raced in front of the army. They did not run in private, but in front of the army. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, lost, leaving Hazrat Aisha as the winner. When they raced on another occasion, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, won, and Hazrat Aisha lost, as she had gained some weight. Upon this, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, stated, "Ya Aisha, tilka bitilka. There you are, Aisha. Now the debt has been repaid." Hence, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, did not deem it inappropriate to go about with his wives. And that which Islam has permitted cannot be considered unbecoming. In olden times, and even today, there are some people who make great distinctions with their wives, and they were unreasonably embarrassed over certain things in those times, such as when they would walk ahead with their wives behind or walking at a distance. If there are still such people nowadays, then this is an example for them. This is the excellent treatment of women that Islam has taught, and the example of which the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, set. It is mentioned that the incident of the great calumny, that is ifk, took place during this journey. The details of this are as follows. During the return from the expedition of Banu Mustalik, another mischievous ordeal was stirred up by the hypocrites, which was a false accusation against the mother of the believers, Hazrat Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, also known as the incident of ifk, the slander. First, there was the mention of the incident involving water when Abdullah bin Ubay tried to cause a dispute. This is another incident. According to the narration of Sahih al-Bukhari, Hazrat Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, while narrating the details of the incident of ifk, says, "It was a custom of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, that when he intended to embark on a journey, he used to draw lots amongst his wives. Then he would take along with him the one on whom the lot fell." As Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, states, on one occasion before a ghazwa, or an expedition, he drew lots in the same manner. And she further states, "The lot fell on me. Thus the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, took me along." This was a time when injunctions on Parda had already been revealed, meaning this incident took place after the command of veiling was revealed. Hence, during this journey, I would sit in a litter and it would be placed on the back of a camel. Wherever a halt was made, it would be placed on the ground. When the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, set back after having finished from his ghazwa, and we approached near the city of Medina, one night the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, ordered a departure. When I heard this announcement, I left to one side, away from the army. She left to attend the call of nature. She says, "When I returned to my camel, I found that my necklace had been lost. It was made of the beads of Zafar. Zafar is a mountain or town near Sana'a in Yemen. Their beads were famous." She says they broke somewhere and had fallen. She says, "I went back in search of it and was delayed for a short while." She says, "In the meantime, those who had been appointed to lift my litter and place it on the back of the camel arrived. And assuming that I was in the litter, lifted it and placed it on the camel and marched on with the army. In that era, women were light in weight and flesh did not accumulate their bodies in abundance, as they used to eat only a little food due to difficult times. The attendants therefore did not suspect that I was not already in the litter. Then at the time, I was still a young girl. In any case, when I returned after finding my necklace, lo and behold, the army had left." Meaning they had left, but she found the necklace after looking for it, and she says, "So I returned to the area of their camp, but there was neither anyone to call out nor to answer. They had all departed, and I could not see anyone. I then set off from where I was, i.e. I went to the place where my tent was, thinking that when people realized that I had been left behind, they would surely return. Therefore, I sat on my spot and was soon overcome by sleep. Now it so happened that Safwan bin Mu'attal Sulami Dhaqwani was a companion whose duty was to stay behind the army so that fallen items, etc., could be safeguarded. When he arrived from behind the army and reached my resting place just before dawn, he found me sleeping there alone. Since he had already seen me prior to the revelation of injunctions relevant to Parda, he recognized me immediately, upon which he said, 'Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un,' 'Surely to Allah we belong and to him shall we return.' I was awakened by his voice and upon seeing him immediately veiled my face with my head cover. By God, we did not say a word, nor did I hear any words from him except those just mentioned. After this, he dismounted his camel and made it kneel close to me. Then he placed his foot upon its legs. I got up and went to the camel to mount it. And Safwan began to walk ahead, leading it by its halter. until the afternoon, in the scorching heat, we finally reached the place where the Muslim army had set up camp. As Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, states, the one destroyed was destroyed, and he who shouldered the greater part of the calumny was Abdullah bin Ubay bin Sulul. Urwa relates, I have heard that rumors used to be spread in his circles, and people would mention these rumors in his presence. He would verify these rumors and listen carefully while prying for details himself. This is why no one's name was specifically mentioned as spreaders of this rumor, except Hassan bin Thabit, Mistah bin Thatha, Hamna bin Jahash, and perhaps some others whose names I don't know. The one narrating this incident has said, however, it was a particular group of people who did this, as God Almighty has said. The one responsible for the majority of the calumny was Abdullah bin Ubay bin Sulul. Urwa explained that Hazrat Aisha disliked anyone speaking ill of Hazrat Hassan. She used to say, he is the one who said that his father's father, and my honor is a shield protecting the honor of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. He possessed very pure thinking and a relationship of great sincerity and devotion to the Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, which is why she never tolerated hearing anything negative said about him. As Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, goes on to explain, for a month after we arrived in Medina, I remained sick. She says, once we arrived and the caravan departed from there, meaning when they arrived in Medina, from that point onward, I fell ill. The people were occupied in talking about what the accusers had claimed, but I was completely unaware of this. I was sick at home and knew nothing of this. What made me truly anxious during this sickness was that I did not see the level of compassionate love from the Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings of Allah upon him, that I usually would. During the sickness, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah upon him, would approach me, greet me, ask how I was, and leave. That was it. There was no kind of treatment beyond that, which caused me great agitation. I was not aware of the evil rumors until I started feeling somewhat better and began going outside with Ummi Mistah to attend the call of nature in a designated area. We would not leave except during the hours of the night. This was before bathrooms were built in our homes. To attend the call of nature, women used to go outside at night. They did not have bathrooms in their homes at the time. At that time, we followed the Arab custom. It was customary to go to the wilderness to answer the call of nature, as we were not comfortable with having a place in our own house for it. Eventually, this became commonplace and bathrooms started being built in people's homes. She continues, I went with Ummi Mistah. As Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, continues, I went with Ummi Mistah, and she was the daughter of Abi Ruhum bin Muttalib bin Abdi Manaf. Her mother was the daughter of Sakhr bin Amir, the maternal aunt of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, may Allah be pleased with him, and her son's name was Mistah bin Uthatha bin Ubadah bin Muttalib. As Ummi Mistah and I were returning to our homes, after completing our tasks, Ummi Mistah got caught in her cloak, stumbled and said, woe unto Mistah. I said to her, what you've said is not good. Do you speak ill of one who partook in the Battle of Badr? She replied, O innocent girl, have you not heard what he said? I asked her, what has he said? So she related to me this story that the slanderers were spreading. As Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, relates that after hearing this, I became even more ill. In another narration, this incident of the women going to answer the call of nature is described in the following. As Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, relates, I went outside to answer the call of nature, and Hazrat Ummi Mistah was with me. She stumbled and blurted out, may Mistah be ruined. I asked her, are you really cursing your own son? At this, Mister fell silent. She then stumbled for a second time and then said, curse be on Mister. I said to her, you are cursing your own son? She then stumbled for a third time and said, may Mister be ruined. I then scolded her. Perhaps it was on her mind, and owing to being absent-minded, she was stumbling over. Nonetheless, she states, when I scolded her, she said, I do not curse him except for you. I am only cursing him for your sake. He comes to mind, and so I say it. I asked her, why for my sake? As Aisha states, she then informed me about the entire incident. She informed Hazrat Aisha about the matter. I asked her, is this really what the people are saying? She said, yes, I swear by Allah. After this, I returned home. The purpose for which I left the house was vanquished, and I did not need anything. When I returned home, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, came to me. He greeted me and said, how are you feeling? I asked the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, do you permit me to go to my parents' house? She says, I wanted to ascertain the truthfulness of this news. Ibn Hisham has narrated that when Hazrat Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, went to her parents' house, she was unaware of the allegation, and the incident with Mistah took place after Hazrat Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, went to her parents' house. Nonetheless, both narrations can be found. She states that the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, granted me permission. In another narration, Hazrat Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, states, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, sent a helper with me. When I reached home, my mother, Rumman, was downstairs, whilst my father was on the upper floor reading the Quran. This is the narration of Sahih al-Bukhari. Hazrat Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, states, I said to my mother, my dear mother, what are people saying? Her mother replied, O my daughter, take no notice of it, for by Allah, there is no charming lady who is loved by her husband, who has other wives as well, but that those wives would find fault with her. Hazrat Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, said, holy is Allah. Are people actually saying these things about me? In another narration, Hazrat Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, states, Hazrat Abu Bakr, may Allah be pleased with him, heard my voice, and he was on the upper floor reading the Quran. He came downstairs and said to my mother, what is the matter with her? She said, she has heard the news that is being spread about her. Upon this, Hazrat Abu Bakr, may Allah be pleased with him's eyes began to fill with tears. He said, my dear daughter, I tell you on oath that you should return to your house. And so Hazrat Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, says that she returned home. Hazrat Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, says, then I began to weep all night. It was morning, but my tears would not stop. I did not sleep all night. At dawn, I was still weeping. Hazrat Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, says, when there was a delay in the revelation being sent down, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, called Ali bin Abi Talib and Osama bin Zayd, may Allah be pleased with them, to seek their counsel. He asked both of them about whether he should leave his wife, i.e. to leave Hazrat Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her. As for Osama bin Zayd, may Allah be pleased with him, he advised the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, that in a manner that absolved his wife from all such allegations. And the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, also knew about this. Hazrat Usama, may Allah be pleased with him, said, she is your noble wife, and we do not know anything but good from her. We have only known goodness about her, so you should not think about leaving her. According to one narration, Hazrat Usama bin Zayd said, this is absolutely false and baseless. As for Hazrat Ali, may Allah be pleased with him, he said, O Messenger of Allah, Allah the Exalted has not put you in difficulty. And there are plenty of women other than Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her. Nonetheless, inquire of the household maid, perhaps she knows something and may be able to tell the actual truth. Hazrat Ali, may Allah be pleased with him, expresses concern about the matter. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, called Barira, who was the household maid. She said, "Have you ever seen anything in Aisha as may be considered suspicious?" Barira responded, "I swear by the one who has sent you with the truth, I have never seen anything evil about her, except that on account of her young age, she is a bit careless. It often happens that she leaves a doe exposed and falls asleep, while the goats come and consume it, i.e. she falls asleep and is a bit careless, but other than that, she did not see any evil in her." In another narration, it is mentioned that one of the companions of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, admonished the household maid and told her to tell the truth of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, and they thoroughly interrogated her regarding this matter. She responded, "Holy is Allah, by Allah, I only know as much as a goldsmith knows about pure gold. I have always found goodness in her." In another narration, it is mentioned that the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, also inquired about Hazrat Aisha, may Allah be with her, from Umm Aymun. She replied, "I keep my ears and eyes safeguarded. I have always thought good of Aisha and found goodness in her." As Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, relates, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, also inquired about me from his noble wife, Hazrat Zainab bin Jahash, may Allah be pleased with her. The Holy Prophet asked Hazrat Zainab, "What do you know about what is being said, or what is your view on the matter?" She submitted, "O Messenger of Allah, I keep my ears and eyes protected, in that my senses are intact, and I can see and hear very well. By Allah, I have no knowledge except for goodness. I have only witnessed good in her." As Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, relates, this was despite the fact that from among all the wives of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, Zainab was the only one who competed with me and acted as my rival. However, due to her virtue, Allah the Almighty saved her from this, i.e. taking part in this calamity. Hazrat Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, further narrates, her sister Hamna would fight for them and perished along with others who also perished. In other words, she did not have a good end. Hazrat Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, relates, by Allah, the person regarding whom allegations were levelled, i.e. Safwan bin Mu'attal, said, "Holy is Allah, by Allah in whose hand is my life, I have never removed the cloth from a woman. He had never had a physical relationship with any woman." As Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, related, later he attained martyrdom in the way of Allah, i.e. he was such a virtuous and pious individual that he attained a station of martyrdom. Allama ibn Ishaq states that Umm Ayyub, the wife of Hazrat Abu Ayyub Khalid bin Zayd Ansari, said to him, "O Abu Ayyub, have you heard what people are saying about Aisha?" Abu Ayyub replied, "I have indeed heard it, and it is all a lie. O Umm Ayyub, would you commit such an act?" Umm Ayyub responded, "By God, I could never commit such an act." Abu Ayyub stated, "Then Aisha is far superior and better than you. How could she then commit such an act?" It is mentioned in Sahih al-Bukhari that on this occasion, an individual from among the Ansar stated, "O Allah, holy art thou. It is not for us to mention this. O Allah, holy art thou. This is such a huge calumny." This is also a narration from Bukhari. The commentator of Bukhari, Allama ibn Hajar, states that Hazrat Abu Ayyub Ansari said this statement. Hazrat Ubay bin Ka'b narrates that this was said by him to his wife, Hazrat Umm Tufail. Hazrat Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, relates that on the same day, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, stood up on the pulpit and expressed his displeasure for Abdullah bin Ubay. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, stated, "O Muslims, I have been given great grief with respect to my family. Is there anyone from among you who can put an end to this? By God, I know nothing of them except piety and goodness. Moreover, I also consider the man who has been mentioned, i.e. Safwan bin Mu'attal, to be pious." In other words, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, also testified in favor of the man as well. He only comes to my family in my presence, and he has accompanied me in all my journeys. As Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, relates, upon this, Hazrat Sa'd bin Mu'adh, who was from among the Bani Abd al-Ash'al, stood up. According to some, it was Hazrat Usayd bin Hudayr. He said, O Messenger of Allah, I shall protect you from this. When the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, expressed his grief and concern in front of the people, he stood up and stated that he would seek to protect the Holy Prophet from this false allegation and from the grief he was being given on account of his family. He said, if he is from among the Aus, I will sever his head. And if he is from among our brethren, the Khazraj, even then we are ready to do as you command. Hazrat Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, states, an individual from among the Khazraj stood up, and the mother of Hassan, who was from one of the branches of this tribe, was his paternal sister. This individual was Sa'd bin Ubadah, and he was the chief of the Khazraj tribe. As Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, states, he was a righteous man, but at the time he was overcome by indignation. And in response to Sa'd, he said to him, by Allah, you have spoken a lie. You shall not kill him, nor do you possess the power to do so. If such a person had been from among your tribe, you would have been displeased at his killing. As Usayd bin Hudayr stood up, who was the paternal cousin of Sa'd, and said to Sa'd bin Ubadah, you have spoken a lie. By Allah, we shall certainly kill him. You are a hypocrite, for you are arguing on behalf of the hypocrites. As Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, continues, a dispute broke out among the companions over this matter. She relates that the tribes of Aus and Khazraj became so agitated that they were ready to fight one another while the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, was standing on the pulpit. As Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, further said that the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, continued to calm them down until they finally became silent. And then he too became silent. As Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, said, I continued to cry throughout that entire day. My tears would not stop, and I could not sleep. My parents stayed by my side, and I cried for 2 nights and 1 day. With ceaseless tears, in a sleepless state, until I felt that my heart might burst from the sorrow. During this ordeal, my parents were sitting with me while I wept, and an Ansari woman sought permission to visit me. I granted permission, and the woman sat down and began to weep alongside me. As Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, continues, whilst we were in this state, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, came to visit me. He greeted us and then sat down. As Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, continues, ever since the rumor had been spread, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, had not sat with me. In other words, ever since the incident transpired, he would greet her from a distance, inquire about her well-being, and then leave. As Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, continues, the Holy Prophet remained like this for a month, and he did not receive divine revelation regarding me. As Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, continues, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, recited the tashahhud after sitting down and then said, O Aisha, I have heard this and that about you. If you are innocent, Allah will surely vindicate you. But if you have committed any wrongdoing, then seek forgiveness from Allah and repent to him. For when a servant confesses and repents, Allah turns to them in mercy. As Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, narrates, when the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, finished speaking, my tears stopped upon hearing this, and I no longer felt even a single drop of them. I then addressed my father, Hazrat Abu Bakr, may Allah be pleased with him, respond to the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, about what he has said about me on my behalf. My father replied, by Allah, I do not know what to say to the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. He did not understand what he should say. I then asked my mother to respond to what the Holy Prophet had said. But her mother also said, by Allah, I do not know what to say to the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. She also gave the same response. Then I myself said, I was a young girl and did not know much of the Quran. By Allah, I know that what you have heard has settled in your hearts. And you now consider me to be indecent because you believe this calumny to be true. If I say that I am innocent and have committed no such thing, you will not believe me. And if I confess to something that Allah knows I undoubtedly did not do, you will believe it and remark that I was at fault and am repenting. So by Allah, I find no example for myself except the father of Yusuf when he said, I've only got the example of Yusuf's father when he said, فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ وَاللَّهُ الْمُسْتَعَانُ عَلَى مَا تَصِفُونَ. So now, comely patience is good for me, and it is Allah alone whose help is to be sought against what you assert. Having said this, I turned to my side and lay down on my bed. Allah knew that I was innocent, and He was about to absolve me of what I had been accused of. However, by Allah, I never imagined that He would reveal something about me that would be recited. I considered myself too unworthy for Allah the Almighty to specifically say something about me. But I hoped that the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, might have a dream in which Allah Almighty would prove my innocence. She knew that Allah the Almighty would declare her innocence, but she had no idea that Allah the Almighty would reveal a Quranic verse in this regard. She says, by Allah, before the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, had left his seat, and before any people of the household left, he received divine revelation, and he was overtaken by a fervent state. Despite it being a cold day, sweat was dripping from the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, like pearls, because of the weight of the statement being revealed to him. According to Sirat ibn Hisham, Hazrat Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, said, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, was covered with a blanket, and a leather pillow was placed under his blessed head. When I saw this, I was not at all nervous, because I knew that I was innocent. As Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, says, that she knew God was sending a revelation, and she had nothing to worry about, because she knew she was innocent. In the case of this revelation, she knew that Allah the Almighty would declare her innocence. Allah the Almighty would never wrong me. As for my parents, by He in whose hands is Aisha's life, as the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, was still receiving the revelation, I thought that my parents would become unconscious. They were both very afraid. They were worried lest God revealed a verse corroborating what the people had been saying, proving it to be true. Then, when the state of revelation came to an end, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, sat up and wiped the sweat from his forehead. As Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, says, when that state of the Holy Prophet was over, he was smiling, and the first words he said were, O Aisha, God has affirmed your innocence. As Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, says, my mother said to me, get up and go to the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. I replied, no, by Allah, I will not go to him, for I am thankful to Allah the Exalted alone. As Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, states, Allah revealed, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ جَاءُوا بِالْإِفْكِ. Verily those who brought forth the lie. There are a total of 10 verses from Surah Nur, chapter 24, verses 12 to 21. When Allah the Almighty declared my innocence in that revelation, as Abu Bakr Siddiq, who would grant regular support to Mistah bin Uthatha, due to his kinship and poverty, said, Mistah was from among those who leveled the allegation. By Allah, I will not grant support to Mistah after his slander against Hazrat Aisha. Then Allah revealed, وَلَا يَأْتَلِ أُولُو الْفَضْلِ مِنْكُمْ وَالسَّعَةِ. And let not those who possess wealth and plenty among you swear. The entire verse was revealed up until, and Allah is most forgiving, merciful. Upon this, after having said that he would no longer render his support, Hazrat Abu Bakr, may Allah be pleased with him, said, "Yes, by Allah, I would like that Allah covers my faults." And he went on giving Mustah the money he used to give him before. He also added, "By Allah, I will never stop supporting him." These were the details of the great calumny. The rest will be mentioned in the future, God willing. Today, once again, I would like to remind you for prayers. Pray for the Ahmadis in Bangladesh. May Allah swiftly improve their circumstances. Also pray for the Ahmadis in Pakistan. May Allah swiftly improve their circumstances. Pray for the oppressed in Palestine. May Allah the Almighty have mercy on them. May Allah the Almighty grant sense to the leaders of the Muslim world. May they fulfill the rights of their people and not perpetrate cruelties against them, because it is due to their oppression that the enemies become emboldened to commit injustices against Muslims, knowing that Muslims themselves are not just to themselves. So how can they call for justice from them? May Allah the Almighty have mercy upon the Muslim Ummah.
Alhamdulillah, na'maduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nasta'khfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'uzu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyi'ati a'malina man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu وَمَنْ يُضْلِلْهُ فَلَا هَادِيَ لَهُ وَنَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَنَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ عِبَادَ اللَّهِ رَحِمَكُمُ اللَّهُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر